Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, December 10th, 2018. Still reveling in the afterglow, and hopefully if I can say everything I want to say and say it clearly and enthusiastically, you'll get a glimpse of what happened this past Saturday. Actually, there's a lot of great things that happened yesterday. There was a special dinner at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church that I got to MC and be a part of, and great food and testimony and sharing and a host of other things this past week, and it was one of those total high octane, so I'll try to slow down and not be so wired. But I have a special guest in the studio that was a part of the debut of the Great News Radio Children's Choir and the Singing Men concert there at the Village Mall in Danville. And we had so much wonderful feedback. If you watch some of the posts from Jason Schiffo and me and others that were there, the children exceeded expectations, the audience, they had to set up more chairs. There were so many wonderful things going on. There was a group down from Oakbrook, Illinois, the Singing Men of Oakbrook, that were, they were watching us to audition to maybe come and sing. Anyways, we'll talk us maybe a little about that, some of the future of the Great News Radio Children's Choir. The shirts arrived at the last moment, Friday night, and so we got them handed out to the children right before they sang. But anyways, a lot to say. We're going to read a story out of the Prime Life Times this morning. We have the content contributor, Dee Chesser, who wrote a special article that brought tears to Karen Harrison, our office manager, to Mary Ann Simpkins, who's the editor-in-chief, Rob Seidenberg, who's our copy editor. They all said they had to wipe away tears. So, Dee, you really hit on something here. And Dee's one of the co-directors of the Great News Radio Children's Choir. And some of you may have, I'm going to let you in here in just a second, Dee, but I got so much to say. It was such a powerful weekend. All the children were off the charts. Great. So put it on your calendar right now, December 22nd, Marketplace Mall in Champaign, at noon in the food court. It'll be their second concert. Now, I think they're going to add another song or two because we'll have a few more rehearsals between now and then. But I'm going to let Dee talk a little about her experience and what she saw going on Saturday and her impressions. But as you know, I guess 2 or 3 months back, suddenly there was a possibility that there was going to be a Great News Radio Children's Choir. I had prayed about it over the years, and it just seemed like some pieces fell into place. There was a potential director, and then as I talked with this individual, her name was Tina, and then I talked to some other people. Then there was Sarah, who had 2 master's degrees with singing and vocal, and she was on board. And then, as you may have heard a couple months back, I was reading a story in the Prime Life Times by Dee Chesser, and the comment after her name was a former children's choir director. And I was like, well, you know what? Tonight, that was like a few months back, I said, we're going to have a first ever meeting of these directors and people to get involved with the choir. I called Dee up after reading the story over the air, and I said, hey, Dee, it says you were a former children's choir. We're going to have a meeting in a couple hours. Is there any chance you'd be interested in attending? And she said, sure, I can be there. And I'm like, really? Great. And so, as you may have known over the past, 7 rehearsals, Dee has assisted along with Tina, along with Sarah, and God couldn't have raised up 3 better matched individual choir directors with different gifts. We have Sarah, who's like the German. We have 4 minutes for this, 6 minutes for this. When we're done, we're done. We're, you know, all business, but very great and gifted and talented in her own right and, you know, over the top, perfect for this choir. And then you have little Tina, who's a little fireball, who's like does all these exercises and moves, and the children just delight in her, and she's very animated and full of life and gets the kids going and readied. And then you have Grandma Dee, who's like a combination of a senior saint that has been gifted leading children's choirs, I think 26 years in Minnesota.
35 years.
Missed a few years in there. Who's like a seasoned veteran who doesn't need all the accolades, and you don't have to like hold her hand and pamper. She knows what she loves to do. She loves kids. She's been praying about being active and involved in a children's choir locally here. You've been here like 11 or 12
years?
11 years. And who knows that God didn't raise up the Great News Radio Children's Choir just to minister to Dee so she could use her gifts. But all 3 of these directors have different strengths and talents. They work perfectly together. And so you would have seen that evident this past Saturday, and you'll get to see it on December 22nd. It's a Saturday right before Christmas, noon at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. Anyways, so basically the program was the singing men sang, I don't know, 7 or 8 songs, and then, you know, the singing men exited the stage, and then the children's choir came up, so I was sitting in the back, and as you guys started, I started welling up, and Stephen McCleary was like, wow, and I said, gosh, this is being realized. These are the children that have been practicing something that I prayed about. And I said, there it's happening, and their sweet little voices. And I think you had said, Mark, who knows that God won't use these children's voices to really soften the hearts of those in the audience. And then you have the powerful men return and proclaim, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, first and last. And just the fact that they would be singing about our Lord and Savior, and the children also singing, and just that combination. I don't know, it was touching my heart. And I was like, wow, this is an answer to prayer. So with that as a backdrop, and we want to read this fantastic story you wrote front page in the December edition of the Prime Life Times called The Forgotten Gift. So we'll make time for that. But Dee, give me some of your impressions and thoughts and what you saw and observed this past Saturday. And let me rest my voice a little. I'm pretty pumped.
I love listening to you. I think it was an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. The children we noticed the very first night of rehearsal were an extraordinary group.
Yeah.
They sang together so beautifully that first night that Sarah and Tina and I really kind of stood there with our mouths open a mm-hmm. little bit. And then over the next 6 weeks, then they just grew mm-hmm. tremendously. I guess I was surprised also by their stage presence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There was no fear, nothing that you normally work with, right. A first-time performance. Those kids marched right up there, and they sang well. They did what they had been trained right. In just 7 short weeks to do.
Right.
They did it well. They brought glory to the Lord.
And those 7 weeks, the rehearsals, basically you usually have some snacks and chips and pizza and maybe carrot sticks or pears or whatever. And then about 5:10, they would all get readied and lined up. And then by 6:20, 6:30, they were done.
Mm-hmm.
And so about an hour and 10 minutes, and some mm-hmm. of that was warm-up mm-hmm. time. But really, you could almost say about an hour rehearsal for the last 7 weeks.
Right.
And yet, they sounded great. People were just enamored. They were like, wow, this just came together. There was a teacher that said, I've worked with students forever, and I don't get the sound that these children had, and I could understand their words, and it was great.
They really did a wonderful job,
yeah.
musically and in every other way.
Yeah, and thank you, God, for Martin OneSource, my buddy Chuck Martin. He supplied shirts. It was down to the wire. Friday night we got them. We're going to have them returned so we can get them all embroidered with the Great News Radio Children's Choir. But he underwrote the cost and supplied enough T-shirts. So if we have children join us in January, we'll have enough shirts to go around. But they were dressed with long-sleeve green T-shirts. What would you call that? Kelly green? Or
Kelly green. Mm-hmm.
Kelly green, long-sleeve T-shirts. And then they had these red-collared polo shirts. So they looked really nice. So it was red and green. We had enough sizes, extra small, small, medium, large, and extra large. So all the kids, they looked great. And then at the end when we did the sing-along, we did 3 sing-along songs together. The children were right in the middle of all these men with tuxedos on. And it was the first time the singing men had red bow ties. We always have black bow ties.
Oh.
So somebody said it really looked good. So I couldn't tell from where
it
was. So
it did. The children sounded fantastic, and they looked even better.
Yeah, it was great. And you said the singing men, you were pleased with the variety of the ages and how the guys did and presented. And I was really pleased. Got a lot of great feedback. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you all on the 22nd. So that's a week from this Saturday. So it's less than 2 weeks away. We'll be in the food court at Marketplace Mall. It's a free concert. And we'll meet right at noon. It'll be about an hour. hour and a half concert. I think children might even have another song or two in their repertoire.
We hope to have two more ready.
And we might have another couple solos or another sing-along or two. So we hope you'll come out and enjoy that with the Singing Men of GNN. But Dee, kudos to you and Tina and Sarah and the team that has come together on Thursday nights to provide the great atmosphere for the children. They seem to all love it. And I think we have like 22 or something signed up, and I think 20 were there. It seemed like
there
almost everyone made it.
There were actually 22 there.
22, okay. Mm-hmm. So I think there was maybe one sick or two sick.
Two gone for sure that I know of.
Okay.
So
it's a great group, and we'll talk more about it. We'll probably follow with the school schedule, take a few weeks off after Christmas, and then probably recalibrate and announce those of you that want to join, those of you children. So parents, if you have a child, probably between the ages of 7 and 12, maybe we'll extend it to 13 or 14. We'll see. We'll pray it all up. But we'll begin a new whole series of rehearsals. We've been meeting here at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square, and we'll probably continue with like the 5-10 gathering. And we'll say more about that in a couple weeks. But right now we're focusing on December 22nd. Come on out. And if you have a child that loves to sing or wants to learn to sing, I have three phenomenal directors that I'd highly recommend. And it's all free. Thank you, God, for Martin OneSource and those of you that have supported us financially so that we can provide this service, this great, wonderful ability to teach these children how to sing God-honoring Christmas songs. And then I'm hoping in the future we'll get the national anthem memorized so they can maybe present at some U of I games and some other festivals and gatherings.
Wow.
I got a couple of things up my sleeve, as they said, but I think if we can get the children to do a good national anthem, I can get them at a couple of the U of I functions. So, yeah, more to say about that in the days ahead, but we'll keep praying that up. So, Dee, you wrote a story that brought tears to some of my staff's eyes. It's called The Forgotten Gift. Give us just a little background and then read it for us.
Well, my specialty in nursing in Minnesota was dementia. So it had a special place in my heart, not only because I loved working with people with dementia, but then my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in his late 70s. So then it became very personal.
Yeah.
And I love to write, and I wrote this piece partially about him and then partially just to encourage people who work with loved ones with dementia to keep things simple, to give the gifts of love, which often are not physical or tangible, I should say, but are just simple, simple gifts that we give that are ultimately forgotten very quickly.
Yeah. And this is the front page of this December's edition of the Prime Life Times, available at over 200 area locations. You can find out more or read the story online at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. And if you want to pick up your own copy, there's a tab called Distribution, and you can find the 200 area locations. They're all sorted by town and then with the address right there at our website, primelifetimes.com. So, The Forgotten Gift by Dee Chesser.
How would you feel giving someone a gift that was forgotten moments later? For those of you with loved ones who suffer from dementia, and for those of us who have walked that path, we know that what we do and give is often forgotten, usually in a very short time. We also know that, though not remembered, these are the most precious of gifts. Words of kindness, simple deeds, things given unselfishly, without thanks or reward on our part, touching someone momentarily only, and then supposedly gone. But our hearts know differently. This kind of giving is treasured by those doing the giving, and most certainly by the recipients, because it is a short but sweet manifestation of true love. These precious moments touch our loved ones' hearts, perhaps just for seconds, but for some time, nevertheless. Do we sometimes focus on the forgotten part instead of the absolutely beautiful, simple gift? My father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in his late 70s. As he progressed through that process, his memory of me as an older adult faded. Face to face, he often didn't recognize me, but on the telephone, my voice was still familiar. Each time I called him, I would say, "This is your favorite daughter," And he would laugh and reply, "You're my only daughter." I repeated that statement with every phone call because it made him smile and laugh. It was a small gift I could present to him each time we talked. And it was forgotten, as well as the whole conversation, very soon afterward. But I knew he had smiled, and I heard him laugh. I treasured each exchange because of the joy we both received. Mine was there to remember. His was gone. But they were both real, just with different time spans. The sound of our voices can be a beautiful gift to someone with dementia. I remember waking up when visiting my grandparents' farm, hearing them and my parents talking in the kitchen. Sounds that warmed me as I lay there, even more than the hot, pungent egg coffee they were drinking warmed them. I lay there unable to make out what they were saying, but the sound touched my heart. This must be what it can be like in dementia. Sounds that are somehow familiar but cannot be distinguished or identified. So, share your sounds, your voice, or maybe some old-fashioned treat, especially one that smells good. Don't ask whether your loved one remembers. Just let them savor a short, wonderful experience. One of the most beautiful gifts given to my father was from his best friend, Skinny Ludvigson, who was imminently terminal with cancer. He took my father to the farm where they had spent so many years hunting, and they walked. It was just a small gift, a walk. And though I was not there, I know what happened. I can see it vividly, an outdoor artist's painting come to life. These two friends, both slightly stooped, their thinning white hair ruffled by the breeze, stand on a hill in a harvested cornfield. They look down at the small lake and up into the sky, and then they survey the farm fields, meadow and slough. They have hunted and fished, gone to school, married, raised their families, and grown old together. The best of friends, each one knows the other intimately. They do not speak, but begin to walk through the cornfield to the slough. Skinny picks his way carefully and slowly in pain. My dad follows, looking around every few seconds almost fearfully. Soft earth under a thin crust of frost gives way, and harvested corn stalks crunch beneath their feet. Crossing a field of long brown meadow grass, they stand before the slough, half surrounded by a semicircle of leafless trees, rich brown against the blue sky and pure white clouds. The slight breeze has died, and the small patch of water is still, a perfect reflection of cattails, reeds, and tree trunks. Each one sees two mallards swimming across the pond, the water fanning out in two intersecting V's behind them, their green heads glistening in the sun. Suddenly the ducks jump, evoking hundreds of memories of sun-splashed, frosty fall days spent tramping together through these open fields, or sitting in a duck blind on dark blue water so smooth it seems the reeds surrounding them are growing up through a glass floor. The magic moment lives a few seconds longer as they follow the sight and the sound of beating wings up into the sky until the ducks become specks and disappear. They turn and smile at one another, and as they look, Skinny puts his arms around his friend, and a tear spills from one eye and runs down his cheek. My dad holds his friend, a little surprised at this physical display, but not quite remembering why he is surprised. The eastern sky has grown dark, the clouds almost black. But in the west, the setting sun has dropped below the clouds and bathes the whole landscape in a golden glow, so intense it seems to come from within. The breeze has returned, colder now, as it blows across the slough. Skinny shivers as it hits the wet channel on his cheek. Dad and Skinny slowly turn away from the slough and walk wordlessly back to the farmhouse, get into the car, and drive back to town. Days later, Skinny is dead. Moments later, my dad does not remember this poignant, beautiful gift, a forgotten farewell. I know that however soon forgotten, this short, late afternoon journey touched my dad even though it was quickly erased by an insidious disease process. So, as we approach the gift-giving season, please think about teaching your children, grandchildren, and those around you by example to interact with grandparents, relatives, and friends who will forget. Help the next generation to treasure, along with you, the simplest repetitive interactions, because they are the truest and the sweetest love gift that we can give. Forgotten? Yes, on this earth, but not by the giver, and ultimately not by the one who received it, who just for seconds cherished it, then lost it. Each of these gifts will be a treasure in heaven.
And the end line says, Dee Chesser is co-director of the Great News Radio Children's Choir, for years a nurse administrator and children's choir director in Minnesota. Dee is now a volunteer and grandma that lives in Champaign, Illinois. For information on memorials and crocheted butterfly sales with poems for volunteers, all proceeds donated to the Faith Prayers National Prayer Line, you may contact her at heretospoil65@yahoo.com. Here to spoil. The grandchildren picked that out because grandma's in town now. She's here to spoil us. Here to, number two, spoil65@yahoo.com. Wow, what a wonderful story. And I was thinking when you began, you know, Jesus taught us about, you know, when you go into situations, relationships, whatever, not expecting anything. You give without expectations. That's kind of like a biblical principle or precept. And then I love the portion where, yeah, they may forget it, but don't not do it just because they're going to forget it. You're going to benefit by just sharing that moment where maybe they just laugh or have a tender reaction to something, a memory, and not feel overwhelmed that they forget it, that it's lost, because it's not eternally lost anyways, and
true,
that very moment might be exactly what God's given them as a gift through you.
I think of that so often because I do some visitation with my dog. And there was a woman at the facility we visit who never reacts to anything. She doesn't recognize anyone anymore. But when she sees the dog, her eyes light up, and she just reaches out her hand for about 2 seconds, and you can see there is recognition there, and then it's gone. But that, for her, is 2 wonderful seconds.
Right. Oh, dear one, if you haven't picked up this month's edition of the Prime Lifetimes, get it, because there's this wonderful story by Dee Chesser and a whole host of other great, interesting articles and puzzles and timely Christmas holiday issue kind of things, articles and events and puzzles and comics and trivia and other things. You can pick it up at many locations or online at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, and put December 22nd on your calendar, because you can see Dee in person as she leads the children with a special song and the Singing Men of GNN. It's at noon at the Food Court Marketplace Mall in Champaign, December 22nd. Hope to see you then. Thanks, Dee, for reveling with me on what God did this past weekend, what he's going to do in the future with the Great News Radio Children's Choir, and what he'll continue to do through you with your content that's printed here in the Prime Lifetime. So we can't wait for the next story. All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dee Chesser with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Lifetimes. God bless you, and have a great day and night.